family. I'm so excited today to continue our study on Romans 8. Chip mentioned it might be a six-week series. I don't know yet, but I can tell you, this is a chapter which is a glorious love letter to those who are in Christ. I want to be clear, I'm not a universalist. I don't believe these promises are meant for everybody. It's only for those that are in Christ. And it's such good news, and it's so beautiful. And if we can internalize the truths and the promises in this short chapter, our lives will be a living invitation to bring people who are outside of Christ into Christ so that they can have these promises. It's beautiful, and it's glorious. It's the wonderful gospel. We are more than conquerors. And today's message is present suffering and future glory. And it's going to be a two-part message because there's a whole lot to say here about what is waiting for us. We're not going to spend 2 weeks talking about suffering. We can't skip over it, jump over it, or ignore it. But I want us to focus on the glory that awaits us. And it's beautiful, and it's beyond imagining. Now, last week, actually 2 weeks ago, we talked about something called justification. We learned that there is now for no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Now, we were born in sin. We were sinners by constitution. We were sinners. But not just by constitution, by practice. We were sinners on the inside, and that caused a mess on the outside. We were under the penalty of sin, and wrath was justly appointed for us. And hell, there's a real hell, guys. Just as much as there's a real heaven, there's a hell. And that hell was waiting for us until Jesus came on a rescue mission for you and for me and for the world. And he went to the cross and he became a sin offering, and that penalty was removed from us and our sins were placed on him. And now we have the promised gift of eternal life. And we call that justification. And we also learned last week about the Holy Spirit, about the Holy Spirit's work in our life. Not only was the penalty of sin removed from us, but the power of sin was removed from us by the Holy Spirit's work in our life. We learned that when the Holy Spirit comes, God himself moves into our being and begins a great renovation project. We're under new management, and our mind is now set on the things that please the Spirit. And God brings to bear all his power and all his resources to transform us into his likeness, the likeness of Christ. We're going to be like Jesus. And you know what? We're more like Jesus today than when we first believed. We don't have to live like we used to live. We don't have to be a sinner anymore. We're no longer slaves to sin. And that's sanctification. And then last week, I mean, it gets better. It builds on itself. We learned, I am a child of God. We have the spirit of adoption. The whole purpose for the rescue mission, the whole purpose for redemption was for you and for me to enjoy God's love, the Father's love, forever. We are his children. We are heirs with Christ. Our orphan heart was given a name. You bear the name of the Most High God. And by the power of the Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. We cry, Abba, Father. It's a word of passion. It's a word of rejoicing. It's a word of release, Abba, and recognition. We don't just state the facts, I'm a child of God. We cry out from our soul, I have a Father in heaven. I'm a child of God. And adoption is a covenant. It's unbreakable, unshakable, irrevocable. It's solemn and divine. God signed those adoption papers. Jesus signed them in his blood. You are his forever. And we have an eternal inheritance waiting for us. And I want you to repeat after me. But wait! There's more. There's so much more. Today we're going to talk about glorification. When God completes his work, which he has promised to do, He's working on you. That renovation project is going. And when that work is done, which won't happen until we stand before him, a unique reflection of God's glory will be seen in every one of us. It's like a light or a color coming off a prism, each facet of that prism. There will be a reflection of God's glory beaming out of you, shining forth in you. You are going to be glorified. And this is the end of God's saving mission. It's not just forgiving your sins. It's not just getting you to live right. It's not just calling you his child. It's revealing you in glory. Those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. It's interesting the way he says, he has already glorified you, and yet we're also awaiting glory. I don't understand the already and not yet, but in God's eternal purpose, he already sees you standing in glory, seated with Christ. You are already there with him. So let's go ahead and read Romans 8, 18 to 25. Again, this is a two-parter, so we don't have to rush through anything. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. And we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we eagerly await our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. So this whole series of verses begin with the concept of suffering. Guys, we have to expect trouble. It's inevitable in this life. Paul is reminding us of the not yet of Christian hope. We're not liberated yet from suffering, but he asks us to turn our gaze on a future horizon of divine glory. And in the sufferings of our lives, we long for this future glory to be revealed in us. And that glory is going to be redeemed bodies. And we'll talk more about that next week. But we're going to have a redeemed body. He's going to heal all of creation. And he's going to seal our adoption. But you see, in the midst of the suffering that we go through, it's this hope, this glory, this future that awaits us, which shines brightly as a beacon to draw us. Today we sang Waymaker, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness. We will have darkness. Focus on the light, and the light, we're approaching it more and more every day. And one day that light will be so bright, the suffering and the darkness will be nothing. It'll be nothing. Romans 8, I'm going to read that first verse again. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light and momentary troubles. I love the way Paul puts that. When you're going through suffering, when you're crushed, when your face is in the dirt, when you feel grief and sorrow, do you call them light and temporary? They feel heavy, and they can feel like forever. But we're getting a glimpse of a perspective that we will one day fully enjoy, that it was nothing. It was nothing. Even though today it may be everything. Because the eternal glory is going to far outweigh everything you've ever suffered. I love what Saint Teresa of Avila said. She said in the 1500s, in light of heaven, the worst suffering on earth will be seen to be no more serious than one night in an inconvenient hotel. Now, I've met a lot of people that love the Lord, they're looking forward to glory, and they always say, now, when I get to heaven, I'm going to go ask God about this. I've got a bone to pick with God. I love you, Jesus, glad I'm here, but I'm going to talk to you about this and this and this. No, you're not. When you look at what is promised us in the Scriptures, we are singing, holy, holy, holy. Blessed is the Lamb who was slain. There are no tears. There is no mourning. There is no suffering. And there is no whining or finger shaking. Now, right here, you can talk to God however you want. And he invites you to come to him and say, why, God, why? I suggest you don't do that anymore. Just say, God, now what? Sometimes the why will never come. And when you get to heaven, you're not going to care about the why. Because it's so amazing and so glorious and so beautiful. Why do these present sufferings not mean anything? It's because all of creation is waiting in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. And the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. The reason why our present day suffering will seem like nothing, it won't compare to the glory coming, because the whole of creation is on tiptoes and excitement, waiting for you and for me to be revealed for who we truly are, the children of God. And that's what we are now, but there's a revealing yet to come. And I just pray that we can have the same posture as creation, with eager yearning and bated breath for that unveiling, for that revealing. Now, how do we feel about being revealed? I don't know. You know, this morning I was taking a shower, and I imagined one of y'all coming in and opening the shower curtain, and there I am, okay? Please don't do that, okay? A lot of us look at being revealed almost like being exposed. We shrink back. We don't want to be seen for who we think we still are. Because shame can linger and guilt can linger. We feel like I'm fundamentally rotten. And I don't want you to see that. I don't want to be revealed. I don't want to be exposed. There are parts of me I got to cover up. And I want to be clear, by nature, apart from Christ, we are rotten to the core. That's why we need a Savior. That's why there was a rescue mission. That's why Jesus came, and he took care of that. But in Christ, are we rotten to the core? No. We're a new creation. The old life has passed away. There may be many things broken in your life. But if Christ is in you, you are new. You're new at the heart. You're new at the core. In the depths of your being, in your identity, in your true personhood, you are totally new. I want you to think about that. In spite of any evidence to the contrary, any faults, any failures, any missteps, any sins, just looking at yourself in the mirror and you think, I don't look that new. I look used, got a lot of mileage on me. You are new, brand new, inside out and forever new. Jesus said, "Behold, I make all things new." And one day, that true you, that child of God, that new creation is going to be revealed in heaven. And I want you to think of it not as an exposure with the shower curtain coming back and you doing the little cover-up dance. That's what Adam and Eve did. You don't have to do that. I want you to think of yourself as a masterpiece that God has carefully crafted. And he's now, as the greatest artist in the universe, unveiling his great work. I want you to imagine all of creation gathered together as God, just like Michelangelo, lifted the veil on David, which people around the world come to look at. All of creation is waiting. They see the form underneath the little drop cloth. And they hear the artist's footsteps coming in, and they know in any minute that glory is going to be revealed. You're going to be revealed for who you truly are. Without shame, you're going to emerge from your little cocoon as a beautiful creation. And Paul says, that's why these present sufferings aren't going to matter to us. Because there's going to be glory revealed in us. Now, I want us to think about that. It's not just that we're going to be standing in God's glory and surrounded by his presence. We will shine forth that glory. We ourselves will have God's glory as part of our makeup. Just like our sin was part of our rotten past, our glory is part of our glorious future. But can we see it? You see, many of us can't perceive that glory in ourselves. It says God has already glorified you, and yet we're going to be glorified. So it's that little hesitation spot, that little place in the middle, the not yet, but already. But by faith, we know this. By faith, we know it, even though we can't often see it. And the world can't see it. They just see our failings. They just see our failures. And let's just be honest. There's plenty for them to point out. The enemy tells us how broken we are. Our own conscience tells us how broken we are at times. The world sure points it out. But that's not the reality. Because the day is coming when who you are in Jesus Christ will be revealed. The full extent of God's saving work is going to be revealed. Now, we had lunch earlier this week at Abuelo's. We were celebrating Dana's birthday, and it was a welcome lunch for Adam, and I was telling Pastor Chris that I was preaching on present suffering and future glory, and he said, you know, I kind of get the present suffering bit, but I have a hard time seeing the future glory. I think that's all of our problem, and the reason is we experience the suffering. And when we think about the glory, we can only compare the suffering that we've had in life with maybe the best things that have happened in our life. And you know, maybe the best, think of your very best moment, and think of your very worst moment. Sometimes they're just uneven balance. Sometimes the bad was so bad that the really, really good just kind of makes it even. But see, what's waiting for us, we've never experienced, we've never seen. And not only that, we can't even imagine what that is. It is so much bigger, so much greater, so much more glorious, so much more perfect and exciting and liberating, exhilarating. It's going to knock your socks off. I don't know if we wear socks in heaven. They will be knocked off. In the Bible it says, no eye hath seen, no ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. You can't see your glory now. You can't imagine it now. But when it's revealed, it's going to be so big, so bright, so beautiful, so awesome, that that thing you had in life which crushed you will be no more than a bad night in a bad hotel. And although that's hard to imagine, it's the truth. And we know it by faith. And I don't want you to leave here today without God beginning to reveal exactly what is waiting for you. Because you will be revealed in glory. And all of heaven and all of earth will see it and rejoice. C.S. Lewis said, if you could see the glory that will one day be revealed in the Christian sitting next to you, you would be seriously tempted to fall down in front of them and worship. Now, I would like you to look at the Christian sitting next to you. Right now, we probably can't imagine that, right? But God promises us that whatever we are here, God will totally make us new. We will be raised up incorruptible and perfect in Him. Paul reminds us that no matter how dark it may be right now, whatever darkness you're walking through, whatever persecution you face, whatever loss or grief or pain is pressing down on your spirit, that it is nothing, nothing in comparison to the glory that will be revealed in you. And we look forward to that day. So the key here, the thing I want to leave you with today, is to know who you are. Know who you are in Jesus Christ. Know the amount of love He has for you. Understand your identity in Him. And as you rest with Abba, and as you meet with Him in the quiet of the morning, and as you bask in His presence and soak up His word and hear the Spirit interceding for you, a little bit more, day by day, you'll get a glimpse of that light that you will be. I want us to do that. Because there's two things we have to remember. Kind of boils down to two things. By nature, I was once rotten at the core. That's why we need Jesus Christ. That's why we need a Savior. But that's who I was by nature. But in Christ, I'm a new creation. And we need to know this. We are new. The sinful nature is not what you are. The sinful nature is what you're fighting against. Every time you sin, it's contrary to you. It isn't you. That's against who you are. Don't just say, well, this is me, this is how I am, this is how I'm going to be, tell Jesus, come get me. No! I'm acting out of character. And if we believe we're failures and losers, we're going to live like failures and losers. But if you know who you are in Christ, if you know that you're the righteousness of God, if you know that you're saved and sanctified, filled with the Spirit, glorious child of God with an inheritance waiting for you, then you're going to live like it. We need to live like it. Thank you.